on air. We're on air.
Hello and welcome to a fantastic and spoiler-filled episode of The Nerd Word.
Yes. So I want to start this off with hashtag Restore the Snyderverse. Let's just go
hashtag
ahead.
Hashtag Restore the Snyderverse.
Oh, which, by the way, I got sent... hello and welcome to this episode of The Nerd Word. I'm Wyatt, and this is...
Austin.
All right. This is.
Wait for the dramatic reveal.
Yeah. Okay. William Shatner.
No.
You can't say no enough. He said, "I'm not William Shatner." Oh, but he would have made a wonderful cameo in the Justice League movie.
Oh, absolutely. you see Darkseid. You see him all brilliant, and he's like.
Oh, no. Actually, you know what would have been great? Check it out.
What?
He's just on a he's on a plane, right? And then one of the
parademons?
One of the parademons lands on the wing, and he's like, there's something on the wing of the plane. And then it flies away, and they're like, sir, what's wrong?
He's like, not again.
Bro, that actually would have been good. That would have been incredible.
What would be funny is seeing Darkseid all... like, menacing and terrifying, and just seeing, we have the anti-life equation.
I mean, he can always just try to throw a rock at, a rock at him.
No,
like
just do that, the ball, the fist, and do the slow hit.
And then Darkseid murders him, and then they're like, well, now that didn't work.
No, he's just like, that rolls away, and he goes, does the Omega Beam, and...
Would he waste an Omega Beam?
On
William Shatner? Or would he just do this? Crush with his fist. And then wipe his hand on the edge or something, you know?
It depends. It all depends on if Darkseid is a full-on Star Wars-only fan.
Oh, that makes sense.
Or
makes sense.
If he's a Star Wars and Star Trek.
That proposes some different questions, which we'll probably get to later. But
in part two.
Yeah. Darkseid, what would he be a fan of? I guess you'd have to look. Never mind. I was gonna start getting into he uses mother boxes and his mode of travel across the galaxy, and that would lend itself more to. No. we're here to gab about.
Focus.
Yeah, we're here to gab about the Snyderverse. And specifically the Snyder cut of the Justice League, which should have been the only cut of the Justice League.
And what was great about the Snyderverse? What was terrible about the Justice League?
Oh, look. The thing about it, right? And it's no matter what, no matter who it would have been, even if it wasn't Joss, even if he didn't, undo a lot of what Zack was trying to do in the image and stuff... even if it was someone that was trying to follow Zack's vision, it still wouldn't have been correct because you can't know what he's going to want, and it would have been two different people regardless. You're going to have, this is clearly Zack Snyder, and then there would have been a switch, no matter who it would have been, you know? It just happened to be a very dramatic switch because he was having Batman crack jokes.
And
specifically this Batman, though. Say a younger Batman, right?
Yeah.
This Batman has seen a bunch of crap and is worn down, beat up. You think he's cracking a joke?
Factoring in the Batman v Superman, looking at what they did, I watched the Ultimate Edition, one that's 3 hours. Mm. And they factored in, they put in a lot more story with that.
Yeah.
And looking at that, they look like they're basing that the Batfleck off of the Dark Knight Returns.
I gotta say, first off, I really do appreciate your use of these terms, because you said Justice League, you said Snyderverse, and you also said Batfleck. So. Good term usage, all right?
You know me. I'm all about the hip young lingo, son.
Yeah. when it comes to comic book characters, maybe Grandpa.
But They were basing it off of the older, grittier, the less, not prone to to using a gun.
We're not quite to Batman Beyond Batman when he had to put it down yet.
Yeah.
But we are, like, he's getting up there. But he still feels that he has enough left that he put the team together and put himself a part of the team. Also, what I really liked, too, was now in the Snyder version, the way that he fought made a lot of sense. Because now he was like, you could tell he was older. You could tell he was waking up achy. You could tell that he was like, I'm a gritty Batman, like you were saying.
He's
and
like
then
more, going for more physical, brooding, overpowering muscle.
It's not like
agility and keeping
exactly.
the movement.
But you could tell when he did hit him, it was a heavy hit.
Yeah.
Like, that man, like, it might have been hard for him to hit somebody, but when he kicked the parademon was going into the wall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like
he's still, like, trying to get hit, though.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I digress. So, this Batman was more grittier, it was more, obviously more dark, because this is based off of an older, more harsh Batman.
What we can
do... He would not fucking tell jokes!
That's cool. What I have an idea of how we can kind of, like, make this linear. We'll go through the characters in the Justice League one by one and explain how, like, Zach's vision and how the character fits better and the stuff that got cut and things of that nature.
Exactly.
So we're starting with Batman, which makes sense, but then we'll move to another character.
Yes. Okay, that's perfect. That's make it so much easier to first keep track, because we're gonna get off on tangents.
We will.
Because
but because we're excited.
Yeah.
But as long as
this is something that we've been waiting how many years,
bro?
Well, didn't we start our first podcast talking about Release the Snyder Cut?
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to go back and look.
But I remember it's one of our earlier podcasts. We were like, hashtag Release the Snyder Cut.
Well, yeah. Even when I was because. At work, I have a thing where I get on the microphone.
Oh, this is going to be loud.
It's fine. Eat your food. Eat your Asian food. So at my job, I used to give samples back when samples were a thing, and I would have to speak on a microphone, and I would just be like,
when
blah, 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 check out this, come have a sample, release a Snyder Cut. talking, and then someone would be like, what? I'd be like, don't worry about it, just release a Snyder Cut. Because, I mean, I couldn't cry enough about it. because I knew it was like an injustice that they didn't release this version of the Justice League. And this is his vision, but still isn't even his complete vision.
Absolutely not.
He wanted it to be 6 hours. And to be honest,
I would have sat through it.
Bro, 4 hours, I did not move. I was glued to the screen. Every character was more compelling and had more depth. And I was entranced. 2 more hours would have been a breeze. Oh, what's that? We're on Apocalypse now? Now they just got rid of Steppenwolf, so now they have to take on Darkseid? Excellent. Say less.
Yeah, this is like literally like I was like sitting there, I watched it, went through all the way through, and like already 4 hours? Fuck, I guess I started watching it again.
Yeah,
it's basically just restart.
Yes.
Watch it for another 4 hours.
The ability to make a movie, and to make a movie 4 hours nonetheless, and then to make a movie that's 4 hours and be rewatchable.
In that very instant. And the ability of having it at 4 hours and you don't even realize it's 4 hours.
Nah, for sure. I think that I only looked at the little thing one time, you know, the little scroller or whatever, and what amazed me is I had already gone through like 2.5 hours. I was like, holy crap, I really felt like I'd only watched 30 minutes of film.
I know.
At 2.5 hours, so it was pretty wild.
This movie pulled you in a lot better than the other one did.
For sure.
Because there are so many scenes, there are so many times where I start to get enveloped, I start to get interested, but then there'd be a scene that's like, it was obvious from the get-go that there was two different competing minds in the making of the
And then there
story.
Was like clearly something missing.
Yeah.
There would be a scene, look, I said this before, I feel if I was the actors, right, specifically Ray Fisher, the dude that played Cyborg, I would have been furious because he acted his ass off. Like in those scenes, and it was essentially built around him.
Exactly.
And then in the Joss version, they just made him look like he was an angry cyborg. In this one, he was dealing with like mental issues, issues with his family, and the trauma of becoming the thing he was. And then after getting the powers, having to deal with the
What am I now? Am I still Victor Stone? Mm-hmm. Am I something else? What am I?
And that scene was so touching when he had to realize that he could be literally plugged in and shut the world off or turn the world on, and then to see that lady working those tables and not have the money, and then him giving her money and seeing the joy on her face because she had just gotten evicted. They told that whole story without words.
Exactly.
Without words. You watched it, you saw how he was reacting to her situation, and then he went to go see her at the ATM.
The moment I was just like, it hit me the heart, the most of it, like, the scene, like, because frankly, in the Justice League version,
mm-hmm.
the two characters I did not like the most, because it's not the fact that I didn't like it, it's the fact that I couldn't gauge if I liked it or not, was Cyborg and the Flash.
Mm.
Because they had no character development. Mm. They had nothing. Cyborg was just to be angry and do computer stuff. And the Flash was there just to make corny jokes.
And to be scared. He was scaredy.
Yeah, and then be scared, be afraid of bugs, be awkward around girls, and to be hungry. That was it.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off because I genuinely am a big fan of the Flash.
And then especially if they're going to be, if this is going to be their, what's essentially their actual first appearance.
Yes.
You need to have that character development that you're not going to have with like a movie that was telling their story.
Exactly.
If they had a whole movie of the Flash that told his story and his behaviors and his tendencies,
and then
the Justice League,
it would make more sense. It'd be a different story because you wouldn't have to invest time to get the audience invested,
man,
because they would already have a movie to be invested.
Cyborg was just so compelling, bro, and even the little subtle things between him and his father, the nuanced things where like. They had to get into the Superman spaceship, and then at first his dad was like "No, this can't be. This is a fake.
This is fake." And then he shows up. He's like, "This is real."
Yeah, but the subtle nod though, because he went from completely hating his father to starting to mend that relationship enough to have like a little bit of a respect, to the point of at the very end. Wanting to go back and see what his dad wanted to hear, like, from a loving standpoint or whatever.
Yeah.
Bro, that's storytelling.
Yeah, that's, like, the scene when it started with just him being angry, and he's like, you didn't let me choose how I wanted to be, what I wanted to be, and what I am, yet I don't know what I am now because of you, kind of thing, to whenever he rescued him, he was like, you're my father, of course I'm gonna be here.
And then we got more of his backstory whenever he was, like, before the accident.
Yeah.
His father not being there.
Which we never got in the Joss Whedon version.
Oh,
which...
bro, and something that makes me more upset than maybe it should, I don't know, but whenever movies will put scenes in trailers and then not have them in the movie bothers me to
an extent
that probably is, like, maybe a little bit overboard.
Same scene, just done differently.
I remember specifically, was it Iron Man 3? I won't get off too much on this tangent, but there was, like, one where, like, he was supposed to, like, jump out of the back of a plane or something, and he says something to, like, Pepper, and, like, I was like, okay, that's a cool scene, and then it never showed up, even though it wasn't, like, that important. I still was like, what the hell, bro? What the hell, that scene isn't in the movie? Same thing with, like, especially with this one. Now that we got to see that beautiful Flash, we'll go ahead and transition into the Flash. That beautiful Flash scene.
Well, not just yet, because there's one scene about the cyborg I wanted to...
But we're definitely talking about the slow-mo through the glass with the shoes evaporating.
Oh, yeah, but we'll talk about that scene, but then we pop back to the cyborg for just a little bit more.
All right, that's fine. That's a good scene
that culminated it for me, that made me respect this movie so much. It's like I was already respecting it like 5 minutes in, but the one that hit me the most was whenever he got to the mother box, mm-hmm. and it says my broken boy, and he says, I'm not broken.
Yeah, for sure.
It's that scene is basically he goes from
full circle
self hatred to do you really think these are gifts? To I'm not broken.
Mm-hmm.
To accepting who he is, accepting what he is something that is fantastic, that is phenomenal, that a lot of people could definitely use. But, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all good. Also, the mother boxes trying to confuse and mess with his mind, which also can be connected with more mental illness, in my opinion. Because,
exactly.
You know, your inner voices, your intrusive thoughts, things like that. And then him overcoming that, bro.
There was one bit that, with the mother boxes that I actually had, that I actually noticed whenever they turned into, like, the old haggish women, is a nod to Greek mythology.
Sirens?
To the three witches of destiny.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Because, that also has a connection with Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which I...
Old gods.
Yeah, which I looked at it, I'm like, that is a detail that's not even said anything, but it's an interesting detail to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it adds nothing, but it is still good to see it. Alright, so now we can transition back to the Flash.
Okay. But before the Flash, though.
Yeah.
The old gods... And then seeing Zeus.
Oh, fantastic.
That was dope. That was really cool. The fact... And then that whole fight scene. Let's just talk about extended fight scenes for a second.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the Amazons scene got extended a lot. So mm-hmm. you really got to see how much effort they put in to try to keep that. And that had me... Even though I knew he was going to eventually get the box, right? It's still the way they played that. Ooh, he almost got it. Ooh, he almost got it.
Yeah.
Like, still had me like,
crap. Like, I know, but like, when is it going to happen? Oh, no.
Bro, it was so cool. It showed so much more of, like, how much of a fight they really put up. Because Amazons are some bad bitches, all right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, you seen them? They flex on everybody, all right? Whenever they're, like, stopping the stones, or whenever they're pulling their arrows, and they just... Oh, whenever they're hitting and destroying things?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I respect to the Amazons. Themyscira, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, okay. So, Flash. Sorry, I got to thinking about Amazons for a second. So the Flash, that scene, speaking of scenes that got cut, that got shown in trailers... That scene where he's got the blue lightning and is going through glass with the finger got shown in trailers and then didn't get shown, which was another injustice, okay? Because that scene was beautiful.
Exactly. And also showed the amount of control he actually has over his power, which isn't actually very much.
No.
He has to, like you... massive beefcake that you have to walk has to walk in the paper mache world, because when he goes whenever he does what he has to, like whenever he just goes to the straight walking with his speed, he's destroying the concrete.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he was like literally tiptoeing, which another thing all gave purpose to his run and why his run is so much different than other Flashes. I remember specifically you were telling me that you hated his run at first,
yeah,
and the way he looked
like
he was...
It gave you no context.
There was no reason for it. But then, in the Snyderverse, in the Snyder Cut, now you have a reason for the way he has to walk so gingerly and the motion of his arms like he's ice skating through dimensions.
Not only that, but the fact that he, like, in one of the scenes, he was performing Tai Chi, which is a very fluid, very purposeful motion, but very light. So it allows him to be able to move gracefully, move with purpose, but minimize the amount of pressure that he puts onto the
his surroundings.
Yes, which just those two scenes alone made everything make sense.
You're like, I like the Flash now.
Yeah, no, like I like.
And I know how dearly you hold the Flash in your top tier of superheroes.
Absolutely. He, like, I've been a fan of Barry Allen ever since I was, like, a fucking little kid.
I mean, you love Green Arrow, and with Green Arrow comes Barry Allen and the Flash. So, I mean...
Exactly. But, like, the fact that, like,
and then
also...
And then Iris?
I was actually pretty cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, I liked who they picked. I liked the, liked...
The little chemistry that they had, and it could set up things for the future.
Exactly.
Hashtag restore to Snyderverse. Hashtag restore to Snyderverse.
He's contractually obligated to have to say that every few minutes.
Yeah, I will. I'll scream. Just if we complained enough to get the Snyder Cut, and we complained enough to get Sonic done correctly, we can complain enough to restore a whole Snyderverse. Hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
But like, where was I? Oh yeah, so the his personality versus the first movie versus the Snyder Cut, he actually has one. And he actually has purpose, and he actually has an ability to make sense, that he actually has something where he's like, oh, I'm doing something, and I'm actually good at it. Like, when, like the scenes where...
He wasn't
like,
just scared.
Yeah, he was
He was
just
going,
scared.
He was doing things, he was being a member of the team. If he was anxious about something, it didn't stop him from doing it, he still did it. Whereas the other one seemed like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go in there, because I'm so worried. No.
Also, I was having a conversation with somebody else online about the Snyder Cut and about how it pertained to the Flash and his personality. The more lines he got, the more you got to understand his character, the more you understood why he was so awkward, is because Frank, like people in the autism spectrum, their mind processes the things differently and more faster and everything. So he was corny. He was just a goofball in the first one, but whenever you got to see him, the reason he is so fast, also, he is fast with his mind, which means he processes things more quickly, which means he's a little bit more socially awkward.
Yeah, which also now made that line of, I need friends, make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Subtle
still,
things
still
like that.
Still not my favorite line.
It may
it
not be your favorite line,
on the nose,
but yeah. But he said he needs friends, and then of course him being a faster person, he's gonna respond faster, and he's gonna be like, yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But in the whole bits where he was talking to himself, I was like, that's not right. It's like, hi Barry, I'm Diana. Wait, that's not right.
Yeah. Is someone else gonna say it, or am I gonna say it? You
like,
know,
oh,
like
that's they're already gone. That's weird kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. The whole process.
Also to. Cyborg again.
Yeah.
The him not knowing what he was going to do, but then the motherly instinct of Wonder Woman knowing by talking and seeing him that he was going to eventually come around. That was really cool too. It gave more purpose to their meeting whenever they spoke, and then how she talked about him after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, give him time. He'll be here. And then her seeing him, and then like her little gestures of like, I'm proud of you. Look at the progress you're making.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it gave you more. It invested you more in the connection between the characters. Not, hey, we're here, and we're doing this thing. That's it. It gave you more of a connection. It gave you more of a hey. They actually have a camaraderie.
Also, the color grading in this much better.
So much.
I don't know what was weird like bright, but. You know, I don't even...
They were trying to make it like the Avengers. They were trying to make it colorful.
These aren't the characters to do that with.
Exactly.
If I would watch a 6-hour cut of the Snyderverse in black and white.
It would look fantastic.
Oh, just dark and gritty comic book pages. Just have it flip from comic strip to comic strip. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The
And here's one scene with the Flash that I was kind of upset that it didn't after seeing it in the Snyder Cut. I'm like, this is a perfect scene. It should have stayed in the other one. If you're just doing corny and jokey, was the scene where the Flash runs up on Superman. Superman bats him aside. And he ends up slamming into Aquaman, and Aquaman's just like. It's like, I am so sorry.
Hey. Just all the characters got an increase. You know, they got more depth. They became more relatable. They told a better story. They gave
more personality.
Yeah. They gave what?
They have more personality.
Yeah.
They have
before it was just, you just slammed a bunch of superheroes together and said, here it is.
Yeah.
Now, it was like each one of them, like I said, if I was the actor, especially Cyborg, and then the Justice League came out, I would have been so mad, which makes sense why all of them were pushing so hard, like tweeting and stuff like that, the actors themselves being like, okay, but you should see the Snyder Cut, which there for a while, they didn't want to admit even existed. You remember they there for a little while, they wanted to pretend like, oh, no, that's just hearsay. And yeah, then Zack Snyder had to be like, well, but it's not. He had to be like,
Henry Cavill ended up funding it. He put like a few million towards it.
Okay, all right, but for a second I was like, he funded the whole thing, because I remember they put an extra, like, lot of money into it.
No, he put in like a few million.
Okay, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he put in a lot of money.
Which, by the way, I'm excited for the next season of The Witcher. They just finished wrapping that up, so I'm excited about that. Also, his lip didn't look weird anymore. Oh, guess
they got rid of that whole entire beginning scene.
Oh,
which did nothing. It kind of set the movie off on a weird tangent.
You want to know something funny though?
So
you may or may not know this about Jared Leto's Joker.
What's up?
You know how he was at the end?
Yeah. He wasn't paid.
No. That isn't what I'm gonna say.
What?
It's something about his appearance.
Alright, fucking tell me already.
Because of other stuff he had going on, he said, "Look, I don't know if you're gonna want me to come because I refuse to shave my mustache." He had a mustache.
Really?
A big mustache. And they got and Zach was like, "No, I really want to work with you. I really want you here."
So that was why he had the
not only did they get rid of it, and you didn't even notice because it was great, but they got rid of it for way less than what the Superman got messed. They put like it was like $3 million or something try to get rid
and
of
it. And it looks like an Adobe effect.
Where they spent $100,000 and effectively got rid of Jared Leto's mustache. How crazy is that? Because I had no idea until I heard it. I said, he had a what? He had a mustache.
I was like,
they did it again.
I'm looking this up right now.
What, you think I'm lying to you?
No, just so I can see it. Because I'm...
It's a hefty mustache, too.
It honestly... I can't see that. I can't really tell.
Oh, you looking at the images?
Yeah, no. I had to look up the image just so I can...
Nah, bro. There ain't no way. And I was... That scene in particular at the end, I was glued. I was as close to the screen as I could get. Because, I don't know, something about it. I don't think there was really much going on in the back, like, noise-wise. It was just Joker and Batman. Look.
But, like, honestly, that whole scene, like, whenever we watch the reference
to Robbins, to killing, yeah. Like, oh, you gonna send someone in to do a grown man's job type of situation?
Yeah, but, like, whenever I watch the Suicide Squad, and I watch the extended edition of the Suicide Squad, when it had more scenes of Jared Leto, even then, I did not get a good grasp of his personality, good grasp of the character.
Yeah,
it was bland.
Mm-hmm.
It was strictly bland, and that wasn't on Jared Leto, because I know that Jared Leto was a great actor.
I'm excited for his Morbius.
Oh, absolutely. I can't fucking wait.
I mean, if anybody's a vampire, Jared Leto's a vampire.
Absolutely. But, like, in my personal opinion, it was a fault on the directing. It did not give him a significant motivation for his personality.
I'm actually excited for the next Suicide Squad.
Oh, me too.
I think they could have named it better.
I don't remember the name.
No. There's a reason for it. And when I only thought about this whenever I made my reaction video to the Suicide Squad. The first movie was Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie is The Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad. I was like, not Suicide Squad 2, not Suicide Squad something, you know. Revenge of the whatevers. It was Suicide Squad and The Suicide Squad. So, yeah, there's that. But I'm actually excited for it because it's John Cena. Looks like he's going to be hilarious.
And there's I've seen the trailer. I like some of the scenes, like you're called the Peacekeeper. Yeah, I love peace with all my heart, and I don't care how many women, men, women, and children I have to kill to keep it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm the leader, and right now I want you to eat a bag of dicks. He was like, if this whole island was filled with dicks, I would eat all of them for liberty or whatever. I was like, bro, John Cena, he's been like in roles where he's like, not the main character, but like a secondary character.
Yeah.
Bro, he's hilarious. Like Trainwreck, when he got called Mark Wahlberg or whatever, he's like, I'll eat Mark Wahlberg. Like, or in
like a Flintstone gum, he's like,
got things to make your dick hard, got things to make your dicks off. I got Flintstone gummies if you like. Like, come on now. And his whole outfit looks hilarious.
Yeah, like.
Also, Pete Davidson. I'm excited. I love Pete Davidson. He's hilarious.
Exactly. Thank you. That's one of the big reasons I wanted to watch the movie.
Yeah, he just said, Pete Davidson.
I like Pete Davidson.
Yeah, I bet you he's going to, guess what role he's going to play? He's probably going to play Pete Davidson.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not a superhero that didn't get 6 heads exploded.
I don't think about that, but I think it's like, you know, Pete Davidson, I feel like, is always just kind of Pete Davidson. Just like, but it's great because I love Pete Davidson. It's kind of like Will Smith. It's just always playing Will Smith.
We got on a sad tangent again.
It's fine. We're talking about actors and stuff. We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
All right. Will Smith is Will Smith, which I think, speaking of Suicide Squad, there was contractual issues or whatever. So I don't know when or if he's going to come back as
Deadshot,
but that's why they added in Bloodsport with our boy Idris Elba, which, man, I mean, hey, that's a busy guy.
He was from Marvel to DC.
Hey, that's a busy guy.
Oh, well,
who was it that was talking? Someone was talking about making a transition over to Marvel. Well, I mean, they've done that too, Marvel to DC. Who was
Ryan Reynolds.
I'm not your father, but I was your daddy or whatever.
Oh,
he's in this next Suicide Squad movie too.
Oh yeah.
He's the dude with the long hair, the blonde hair or whatever.
Oh, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh yeah, he's King Shark. He's gonna be the voice of King Shark.
He's pulling a Vin Diesel.
You know what's so funny too? Whenever I did my reaction, I literally said in the reaction, I'm getting big Groot vibes. I'm like, he might talk more than Groot, but I'm getting like Groot vibes.
Yeah.
which makes sense. So we talked about Batman, Cyborg, we talked about the Flash.
Like one little tidbit about I watched the entire Suicide Squad with in the extended vision. Never got a full field of the Joker. Mm-hmm. I watched that one scene. That one single scene with the Joker with Batman. That's all the Joker I need to know if I like it or not, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
He is a unhinged.
Oh, he's so weird.
That's
the way Joker. Exactly. Joker should make you uncomfortable.
Yes.
And he definitely can make you uncomfortable.
Exactly. He was unhinged and like comedic and. A certain way.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's like it's like a, it's like a he odd, went he went he went from comfortable funny that make you go like
he went from happy to like Batman clearly was messing with his emotions as well.
Yeah,
you know. So another thing is that really shows a lot that this Batman's been around a long time. So this Joker's been around for some time, and they really know each other.
Yeah.
So they also know how to fuck with each other.
Yeah, and he has to, like a lot of the other Jokers that I've noticed is they didn't have a very much flair for the theatrics. The Jack Nicholson had the kooky comedic.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Ledger had the chaos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But not many of them had, like, Joker's bravado and theatrics and everything. And just the scene of just the car.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
You said great. We got parlor tricks. I love it.
Yeah, that's what Joker does. He's done the
Also in this version, I guess, Harley Quinn's dead now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay, that's a dream sequence. That whole thing was a dream sequence. Was it a premonition? Who knows? Whatever, but
we need to see more movies to find out.
Yeah,
restore the Snyderverse.
Hashtag restore the Snyderverse. I can't say it enough. Oh, okay. So, Aquaman, I will say I feel like they're not a whole lot different. There was a few key things whenever they were at the location and he was trying to get him on their team or at least speak to him or whatever.
Yeah.
That part was extended, and then which was cool. And then they also I appreciated more the way that he left the conversation. It wasn't I'm gonna jump into the water. It was like he's gone and he's gone, and then we cut to him under the water just hauling ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
more of like a seamless transition, not just a
And the seeing as how we're talking about Aquaman, you also have to talk about Mira. And one thing I have to remember, and I mean I feel like it might help other people while watching, is you don't like Amber Heard. It isn't that you don't like Mira.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the character
There has to be a disconnect between character and person.
And then I'll say this. Whatever you think about her, if you think she's bad, whatever, guess what? A lot of bad people in life are also good actors and actresses. So, I mean, it's whenever she started draining the blood and stuff from Steppenwolf.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
That was dope. Come on now. And then it's crazy because as I was watching that, because, you know, I've read a lot of Aquaman comics, like, I was like, I literally was sitting there. I was like, she's done that before. She's done that before. I was like, she literally drained a dude like at a gas station or whatever for like grabbing her wrist or whatever and turned him into a human prune. And like Aquaman had to be like, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not supposed to be doing that.
Put that back. Put the film back up.
Hey. So, but whenever she, and you saw how it affected Steppenwolf too,
that would have
trashed him. Yeah. And also, you noticed that he tried to get out of Atlantis as quick as possible because that ain't a fight you trying to have.
Oh my god!
The way that they beat Steppenwolf, up on the trident, up in the air, spiked. And having Wonder Woman slice that man's head off
and mid-throw.
And sending it back to Darkseid where he stomps on it on the other side. Like, that's so dope, man.
Oh, better than, a bunch of parademons ate him.
Nah, yeah, trash. This was, we gonna behead this guy that used to be your number two and send him packing.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. And then they stand there. And then all of them are there together, just kind of like, yeah, we're here defending the Earth, and we got the mother boxes.
Hmm.
What you gonna do?
Like there are some issues I had.
You always have issues.
Yeah. Well, it's mainly just like I can understand.
I can't think of a film you haven't said, but I would have done this.
No, it's not nothing about that. It's just mainly it's like continuity because so we had the Justice League first. Okay. And then we hear them sprint off the Aquaman and everything else after that. The one issue I have, I mean, I know it can't be helped because this was a movie that was made, that was supposed to be made before other than the Joss version.
Mm.
So everything is kind of pulling off of the Joss version while this is on its own timeline.
Well, see, that's the thing. They're trying to say, oh, like, they finally gave us the Snyder version, and then they're trying to be like, hey, don't look at that. That it's cool you appreciate that, but also that's not canon. Well, that's not gonna fly with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to make that canon.
Yeah, no. Because like the one issue I had that it kind of threw me.
Mm.
Mira having a British accent. It is like I don't know
that it was necessarily British.
But like the strong accent. It's not so much that I have a problem with it. It's throwing me off because I've seen the Aquaman movie a million times.
Gotcha.
And she doesn't have the accent.
Mm. Well, you have to think about this. You have to think about, first of all, timing, right?
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
then,
saying.
And then secondly, especially in the comics and the story of Mira, she has to learn, like, tendencies around normal people that isn't, like, Regal and Atlantis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, she has to go through that that period where she's like, oh, because she doesn't understand, like, normal, like, human things or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's going to sound a different way in one movie than she is in another. I get how you'd be like, why'd you go from this to this?
No, it's something like that. It's just, it's like, I don't have a problem with the scene. I have a problem with my mind's interpretation of the scene because of the fact that I've seen this and this, like, all the movies afterwards. Aquaman is sprinting off of the Justice League version.
Mm. We're gonna change that.
Hmm?
We're gonna change that.
Yeah, but
I refuse.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I know. For someone that has watched the Justice League about like 4 times in the span of a week preparing for this this podcast,
yeah,
just so I can be well informed with the difference of scene, the scenery and everything.
So
it's
glad.
It's a stinging pile of crap.
And
I'm talking about the director, not the.
It was hard for me to say that I hated the Justice League, right?
Yeah.
Because
but
I am.
There are some things I like.
Yeah, but because I am such a fan, and then it has Aquaman in it. You know, so me being such a fan and then also having Aquaman in it, it's hard for me to be like...
fully hating it.
Yes. I almost physically can't.
Yeah.
But
like,
now,
I mean,
by comparison...
The nicest thing I can say about it is it wasn't done. It didn't feel finished.
Yeah, for sure. And because it was far from finished. Even, like I said, this version, even though it is Zach's baby... He still wanted to make it 2 more hours. He still wanted to have, like, them go to Apocalypse, and, like I said, I would have watched that easily. To be honest, as much superhero as you want to give me in Zack Snyder's dirty, gritty version, like, you know what? Just go ahead. Make it as many hours as you want.
Take Man of Steel, take the Batman v Superman, take the Snyder Cut, mash them all into one. I will sit in one spot and I will watch it from beginning to end.
Yes. I will plan accordingly. I will put in my days at work.
I will have a bottle next to me just in case if I can't hold it.
All right, well, you could pause the movie, bro.
Oh, absolutely not.
You said,
absolutely not.
How dare you? How dare you think I can pause this?
How dare you think I would look away? I would be sitting still, and I'd be watching it. My eyes would be glued.
Yeah. So we got Flash, we got Aquaman, we got Batman. I want to talk about scene differences, like Wonder Woman's scene where she had to fight those bad guys.
The ones in the beginning with the
a lot more tension, a lot more build up, and a lot more feeling like it was on the line. You know what I mean?
The difference in the
music choice was a big thing in this movie.
Exactly. The Wonder Woman's the music, it put tension, like I think you need to
Oh yeah, I got it.
The music choice put more tension and more of a how can I frame it? It put more of a desperation.
Mm-hmm. Though that's why I said a lot more on the line, a lot more pressure. And I felt like it suited the scene better. It was like one of those things that what was once a little cheesy in the Justice League now was like, okay, this is like, there she is. There she is on top of this, about to put in work down there, just being awesome.
Yeah. And saving a bunch of kids from a bunch of psychos.
And then that sentimental scene or whatever with the girl being like, you know, kind of like
that.
You
can be whoever you want.
Come on now. Man, there was a lot of like touching parts in this movie.
Yeah, because like that's also a note to the back to the fact that Wonder Woman was a very big, strong icon for little kids and girls that wanted to, you know, be strong.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like everyone had Captain America or Superman or Batman. Not many girls had something.
Mm-hmm.
And they like Supergirl was, it was like, hey, I'm just the same, but it didn't really have much of a presence.
Got you. Compelling.
Yes.
You can even argue that about Superman himself.
Yes.
Being like, okay, we get it. You're pretty much overpowered.
Yeah.
This is different. She has a cool story. She's been around for a long time. The way that she's made with the old gods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The fact that she's seen what humanity has done. And it's kind of crafted her as a person. It's all, like, again, much more compelling.
Exactly.
And these touching moments are stuff that we were missing. It was just all cheese in the Justice League version.
And even when they tried to make some drama whenever
I think the comedic points took away from the dramatic points.
Exactly. Because once you start to feel like you're investing into the drama, Batman was like, oh, he's really big. Or some stupid, goofy joke, and it would pull you out.
I'm glad they cut every Batman joke.
Well, not every Batman joke. What's your superpower? I'm rich.
All right, but I don't necessarily think that was a joke.
Whenever I watched it,
that literally the person I was with, they said that, unfortunately, money is a superpower.
Yeah, but the thing I noticed was that, like, Ben Affleck's Batman never made a joke whenever he was in costume. Any kind of comedic anything, he wasn't wearing the cowl or he was out of suit. It shows the difference of mindset between Batman and being Bruce Wayne.
Batman
and
Bruce Wayne.
That is one of the things I really like, because it genuinely
to be honest, I didn't,
like,
until you said that, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it genuinely showed that he has a personality shift, that he has a part of his mind that he says, "You are, whenever you put the suit on, you are Batman."
Mm.
You hold yourself, you speak.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem with the Justice League, is Bruce Wayne and Batman weren't separate. It was just Bruce Wayne in a suit.
Exactly. And
he wouldn't be Bruce Wayne in a suit.
And that is not Bruce Wayne, that is not Batman. The many different, spanning all different kinds of comic series, everything, like audiobooks, TV shows, movies, they always Bruce Wayne always specified, Batman is Batman, Bruce is Bruce. Whenever the suit goes on, whenever I'm in the cave, there is that mind shift of, I'm not this person anymore.
Are you a playboy, or are you brooding?
Yes. Like, there is almost a next personality.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce becomes Batman.
There's a reason the big thing about Batman is his ability to inflict fear in anyone. That's anyone. Like you said, throughout animated stuff, throughout comics, whatever, even, what was it? The animated movie, The Justice League, The Dark Justice League Dark or whatever, yeah, like the ghost flying around.
Yeah, and he goes, boom.
Batman's able to scare a ghost, bro.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne ain't scaring a ghost.
No.
Batman's scaring a ghost. The fact that people are supposed to think, is Batman even real? Didn't they say that?
Yeah. I never thought he was real. I'm real when it's convenient.
That's the thing. He's supposed to be in the dark, in the shadows. People fear him. He inflicts fear. He doesn't crack jokes.
Exactly.
And if he were to crack a joke, it would be one creepy-ass, scary joke. It wouldn't be, ow, my hip.
Or, yep, something's bleeding. Yep, something's bleeding.
No, that's not what it would be.
But yeah, I noticed the fact that he was, like the scene with between him and Wonder Woman where they reach for the mouse, he's like, oh, no, that's here, you can go for it. The awkwardness, that's Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Once he's in that suit.
There's probably a sense of confidence along with the responsibility of the suit, yes, as soon as it goes on.
Yeah.
And you can say that for other people, just in general. Like, as soon as you put a mask on, or like, maybe even people that cosplay and stuff like that, there's a you kind of become the character, yeah, or there's a different sense of confidence that you may have.
Kind of overthrow. Because, like, I honestly, being cosplayers,
mm-hmm,
you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You, whenever you finally get the everything on, you've done right, and you look at yourself in the mirror, you get that, like, you feel like your posture changes, your demeanor changes.
At Renaissance Festival, that's what we refer to as a character walk.
Yeah.
Whenever you become the character, not only does your personality change, does the way you talk change, but the way you move, your subtle movements, things like that, your character walk. And you can identify that throughout cinema. Batman is going to also walk different than Bruce Wayne.
Exactly.
This isn't DC, but one of the most famous character walks, I would think, that I could point out off the top of my head, that just really, like, wow, yeah, no other character walks like that. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, Johnny Depp. What's his character's name?
Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow. Think about the way Jack Sparrow moves and the way he walks. That's got to be one of the most famous character walks of all time. And that's a character choice.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's you're enveloped. You've become it. And that's why, just another reason, that Justice League, just another one of those little things that doesn't make sense. And there's that disconnect. And that's why it's not good.
Hmm.
Which is hard for me to say until you see the masterpiece, which is the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
So hashtag restore Snyderverse.
Honestly, if they're listening to this and they haven't seen it, what's wrong with you?
Why
haven't you seen it already?
Maybe they don't have HBO Max.
Have HBO Max. I still saw it.
How'd you see it?
Hey, not talking about me passages about acquiring certain parcels.
Through what type of means?
We not getting into that.
No, you always say it. You always say
through less than legal means.
Oh, less than? Oh, I thought you usually go through legal means, like you know.
Oh, yeah. Through the perfectly legal means.
So I don't need you getting on to people about not seeing it yet. They may not have HBO Max or be able to acquire it through legal means.
I mean, anybody can acquire it through legal means.
Not everybody is technologically savvy, my friend.
I barely know how to work a cell phone.
Oh, my goodness. I won't be having you shame people for not seeing it, even though you should see it as soon as possible. And if you haven't seen it yet, what I would say is you should have quit listening a long time ago.
Yeah, I did say this spoiler-filled in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, if they haven't seen it, and then they're, I mean, maybe you feel like you've watched it now. know, like, honestly, sit with us for 2 hours and receive 4 hours of Snyder versus Joss
cut. We need to do this this podcast for 4 hours. this is the Snyder cut version of Nerdwork.
Well, I don't know about all that. It was there was a person on Joe Rogan or whatever, and they were like, "What's your longest podcast?" And he said something like, 4 hours or five, something like that. And he was like, "Well, all right, let's beat it." He was like, and Joe was like, "No," he's like, "No, we're not gonna beat it."
I will say one thing.
I think the longest podcast he's had is with Kevin Smith.
Oh.
Kevin Smith can talk, boy.
Oh, absolutely. For someone that is known as Silent Bob, he can talk.
That's why it's like an ironic character.
Yeah. But there are a couple of things that characters that were in the Snyder Cut that weren't in the Justice League,
mm-hmm,
that honestly I liked very well.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly the big obviously Joker, but the other three: Deathstroke,
all right, yep,
Lex Luthor, and Martian fucking Manhunter.
Oh, you missed one.
Which one?
William Dafoe.
Oh, absolutely.
You missed one. How dare you?
I forgot. I'm terrible. I call myself a fan. I'm getting out of here. Austin, you asshole, get out of here. I'm sorry.
It's funny because you're like, I watched it a bunch and I planned this.
And I forgot this, and I'm still trash.
I forgot William Dafoe. How dare you?
I'm trash.
I forgot the Green Goblin was in the Justice League.
But, like, I got caught up with, like, Lex Luthor's personality in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, completely different, like, two sides of the same coin. Different side than the Batman v Superman,
mm-hmm,
but fantastic. He was more composed, but just as dark and like.
Again, you got to think character development. What a character has gone through, and where they are.
Yeah.
So, say you didn't like him in Batman v Superman. Okay.
I was not a fan.
You weren't a fan, right?
No,
that's because he wasn't fully Lex Luthor yet.
Yeah, no. So like, I wasn't a full fan with the theatrical release.
Okay, but yeah.
The whenever I watched the Ultimate Edition, they had a few more scenes with them, with everything and a little bit more of an understandable context.
Yeah.
But still was not fully.
But what I'm saying is he wasn't fully Lex Luthor yet.
Yeah.
Think about it. The man still had hair. He was still like, "What the hell am I doing?" Yeah. He had all and then. Spend some time in the jails, all right?
An asylum.
Yeah. Shaved head. Now he's become Lex Luthor. Guess what? Lex Luthor, that's a dope-ass character. That's a character you're going to get behind once he's actually Lex Luthor. He may have had the name of Luthor, but he wasn't Lex Luthor yet.
Yeah, but like...
But like, every character has to start somewhere.
Yeah, but like...
You may not like where Midoriya starts.
Yeah.
All right? Where he's breaking his freaking fingers and not able to use his power and is like...
Yeah.
But...
Eventually he can be kicking shit.
Yeah. Eventually, he gonna be doing some All Might stuff. Yeah. Alright? But
like, the body language, much more intimidating, less unhinged kookiness, less controlled by just a random emotion, more composed, more... like less chainsaw, more scalpel,
mm-hmm,
and that showed in that one scene he was in. It showed he had more intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
He had more a balance and control, and that is several like so much towards Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
And like the few scenes that Joe was in.
I mean, he looks like they ripped him out of the comic book.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the bravado. He's got the body language. He's got the voice. He's showing that he's not intimidated by Lex Luthor's money.
And then whenever he aligns with his way of thinking, he's like,
yeah,
"Oh,
he's
well,
like,
I guess I will have that."
I guess there is something to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Oh, and then finding
out. I bet you that's a character that's like restored to Snyderverse.
Oh, I hope so. Hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
Yeah, Theo sent me a video that upset me.
What?
It was about restoring the Snyderverse, and there's this guy that gives news about, you know, things that are DC and stuff like that, his TikTok thing or whatever, and he was like, this just in, they've agreed to restore the Snyderverse, they've heard your calls, there's going to be two more Superman movies. They're gonna show all of the Suicide Squad stuff.
Was this on April Fool's Day?
But look, it's a dude that normally is serious about these things or whatever. I was like, yes, yes, and it was like they're gonna make another Justice League movie. It's gonna be Zack Snyder at the helm. I was like, oh my god,
is this happening? Is this happening?
And then it said, and all of this brought to you by AprilFools.com. And I was like, I immediately sent Theo a video of a spider with a bunch of baby spiders on his back, because that's what you get.
Why did you just bring that on me?
Well, I'm just saying, he sent that to me, and he hurt me, okay?
So you hurt him back?
I hurt him.
Why should you just go to his house and, like, dead leg him or something?
Nah, I'm gonna send him spider with baby spiders. Yeah, see that? The creepy crawly, that's what he gets.
But, like, the scene, to see that scene, and then to go to the nightmare scene mm-hmm. where Deathstroke and Batman are teamed up. I want to know how did it get to that situation. I want
to
know.
Also, I need to know why Aquaman's dead.
I'm so invested.
For what they did to Arthur, I'm just like.
Well, you also saw that scene that all those flickering scenes that Cyborg got in his head,
mm-hmm.
where Darkseid.
Oh. Okay, got it. Yeah, but I didn't know that.
You didn't see it because, like.
No, I saw it. And I was like, damn, because Darkseid was, like, really killing everybody in that.
Yeah, exactly. So you didn't know if it was, like, Aquaman or Willem Dafoe's character who was wearing a lot of the same stuff.
Uh huh, yeah.
So it looked, like, in a quick scene, that looks close.
Yeah, I think I knew that he killed Aquaman in that, but I thought it was just the Mother Box trying to. Or not. Was it? No, or the... It was the spaceship system, not the Mother Box.
Yeah.
Trying to talk him out of reviving Superman.
Yeah.
I thought that was just not something that was going to happen, but I guess it can be another one of those things that's like, maybe it does see different alternate possibilities, Batman's dream could be a premonition. They could be one and the same, but I guess I just hadn't connected the dots between them.
What I think it is the fact that Cyborg has been made from the Mother Box.
Mm-hmm.
So Cyborg's electronic physique and being able to electronic makeup and being connected with the Mother Box and being connected with the ship caused that connection, which gave him a glimpse in the future. It wasn't so much the ship.
I thought Mother Box or ship or whatever, or combination of the two, I thought that they were trying to do anything in their power to stop Cyborg from reviving Superman. I thought that was the main thing, the main goal. Because you noticed every time the ship would be like, we strongly suggest that you don't revive Superman. Like, it kept saying, like, this is not a good idea, don't do this. And he was like, override the system, whatever, you know, while he was connected.
Yeah.
And then with a little juice from Flash.
I think with the Flash approaching the speed of light causes some kind of temporal wave that Cyborg picked up. So he got a glimpse of a possible future.
I just don't know if it was a glimpse. It could be a connection. It could be a premonition. It could be a possible outcome. But I just want to say that there was a lot of times that the Mother Boxes and stuff were trying to manipulate Cyborg's mind.
Yeah.
And I just thought this was just another form of manipulation.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been true.
I guess the only way we can find that out is more Snyderverse movies. Yeah, hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to ever fully know unless we get more of the story.
Yeah. They, like at the end, remember whenever they were trying to be his family and stuff like that? Like you said, the three of them.
Yeah.
And then whenever he finally came to, like, I'm not alone situation.
I'm not broken.
I just thought, and then that was whenever he, no longer saw his human side inside of his own mind. He saw his cyborg side inside of his own mind.
Yeah,
which I thought was a nice...
Yeah, he finally accepted himself for what he was.
Mm-hmm. The point is, the Snyder Cut is incredible.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to... Like, my question is, why didn't fucking Martian Manhunter help out at all?
Well, he did say something, right? That, like, he stood by and watched for a while.
Yeah.
And if you think about the backstory of a Martian Manhunter, think about he's seen war, he's seen fighting, he's seen his family get killed, all types
his
of that.
His whole entire species.
His whole species eradicated. So, if you think in that context, he probably could have, like, a feeling against that type of thing, but he finally sees, like, hey, there's no more standing on the sidelines.
I need to be part of this. Cause...
Yeah. So, and, what was...
One...
Oh, he did pretend to be...
Martha.
Yeah, the mother.
Yeah.
Which I guess was to try to get her in the right mindset of,
Moving forward.
Yeah. Which is so... Oh, but I did like that they used the same dude from the show, though.
Oh, absolutely.
As Martian Manhunter. So, and just the way, like, you know how Flash... Yeah, from the movie, the cinematic, went to the show for that little crossover.
Oh, no, that's not the same Martian Manhunter.
Yes, it is.
It was on.
I will argue this to death. He's from Supergirl. That is the same Martian dude that plays Martian Manhunter from Supergirl.
I'm going to look this up.
Go ahead. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm not. I know his voice. I'll wait. I'm not worried.
No, it's not.
It has to be.
No, it's not. It's this guy. It's the guy from the Man of Steel. Yeah, no.
Wait, hold on. Let me see that face. Let me see that face. Is that not the dude from the show?
That's not.
Okay, see who plays Martian Manhunter from Supergirl. I mean, I will admit if I'm wrong, but it just seemed like the exact same. Bro, they even look similar.
Yeah, they do look similar, but they're not the same person.
It's so whack. I was like, sure. Like, as I was watching it, I was like, that's cool. They used the dude from the show.
Yeah, but WB already made it clear that they're like, we're not branching the two.
Well, they are. They kind of broke that, didn't they?
Whenever
Flash came and saw the other Flash.
Yeah, which...
So that's why I thought that it was open that they could do... And there's all types of different universes, so...
Yeah.
You know, that's something that DC always has to play with.
Yeah, there is one thing. I'm not entirely sure, but I did notice something.
Mm.
So, in the nightmare scene...
Real quick. I liked Darkseid's respect for the Lantern Corps.
Oh, absolutely.
I liked that he was like... The dudes had checked first, and they were like, no sign of lanterns. Like, that was a serious worry of theirs, which shows the standing of the Corps... In, like, the galactic whatever scheme of things.
And I like that they gave more Green Lantern stuff.
Hell
that
yeah.
Actually showed the alien lantern fighting and not just some green
and trying to get the ring and then the ring flying off?
Yeah. Oh, that was good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
You were saying, sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, in the beginning of the nightmare scene,
mm-hmm.
you see that parademon that hit the ground, that hit the head on top of the car, was looking around. Did not look like a normal parademon.
Mm.
It was Martian Manhunter Green.
I don't know.
Like,
I haven't watched as much as you.
Uh-huh.
I only watched it the one time. Which, by the way, watching it the one time, this has, however long ago, has to show you how much it sat with me, right?
Yeah.
Because I sat down, I glued, and I absorbed as much as I possibly could. So you said Martian Manhunter Green.
I'm looking this scene up.
Either way, what's your theory?
The anti-life equation.
Mm-hmm.
Changes. They can change any living being into a parademon.
Okay.
Oh, pardon me. Mm-hmm. I think Martian Manhunter doesn't make it through the thing unscathed. I think he becomes a parademon.
Did they change him into a parademon, or did they take genetic material from him? And
I
like...
don't know. That we had to see the Snyder the Snyder Cut for.
More, we need more.
Yes.
Okay.
But I have that feeling.
I didn't think about that. See, that's where your more viewings have been. You know, you've checked in on those little things like that.
Yeah.
I was like looking at the grand scheme of like where the story needs to go, because like I said, I refuse. Just like I refused to not see the Snyder Cut, I refuse the Snyderverse to not be a thing.
Like,
okay, you're showing me. Alright, let me see.
He looks differently than a lot of the other ones. He has the same like little head ridges as
what the hell is that?
That's the parademon.
Okay, play that real quick. Play that.
Alright, hold on a second.
Alright, let me see what we got here. Okay, so that one right there?
Yeah.
I don't know. You might be looking too much into things.
I could
at
be.
At that point.
I think, honestly, I could be.
You might be. Now, that being said, Zack Snyder's really good at giving meaning to a lot of things.
Oh,
but,
like having things that you don't notice until later on.
But, I don't know. You might be...
I might be...
You might be over... You might be over... Yeah. You might be overanalyzing there.
Yeah. But, like... Yeah, I could be just looking in too far into it, but still, that would be interesting.
I see. But you're giving purpose to things, which is what he does. He gives purpose, depth, and a reason for things to happen. So you're like, now you're staring at the screen, and you're like, parademon, that's a slightly different color?
Well, that's a different color, but it's a different color and a different physical makeup.
But you got to remember how parademons are made. So they're all gonna be a little different.
Yeah. But like one scene, like another side tangent. One scene that like made the Snyder Cut movie that was just like should have been in the other one, but gave so much basing character on the character. The time traveling scene with the Flash.
Mm.
Where he broke the time.
Oh, bro, that was a beautiful ass scene, bro. They
it was
cut
so
many...
compelling, and it was just like, hey, it's just.
Gotta break my rule. Ooh, what about whenever Barry got shot, bro, and he said, I just got the wind knocked out of me.
Yeah, and he's just like, come on, you gotta heal.
Whenever that happened or whatever, I was like, that's not. You didn't get the wind knocked out of you, bro.
Yeah, you got fucked.
Oh, my goodness.
I can see your insides.
And he was trying to hold it as much as he could. He was just like, I'm ready, Cyborg.
He's like, I can't hold it. I gotta hold it. And it's just like that scene where he had that inner monologue, and he's just kind of like
that time travel scene, I could die from this.
Yeah. So I'm saying a last goodbye to his. And the last thing he has to say is he's saying like, Dad,
yeah.
I was one of them. I was one of the best.
One of the best. Golly, that kind of gives me chills just thinking.
He goes from a corny side character in the Justice League to
every relationship was made better.
Exactly.
Every relationship, every conversation in between characters, the characters' development themselves, the reason that they behave in subtle ways, everything was made better in this cut.
Absolutely.
And it's the only cut we should have. And if you haven't seen the Justice League, don't watch it. Just watch this. Unless you're trying to just...
Unless you have those times where you want to watch a terrible movie.
Well, I mean, maybe you just want to see the comparison to be like, why would they get rid of this? Or why wouldn't they put that there? Well, it's because... I don't really know. I don't have the answer for that because it should have never been.
Honestly?
But tell us what you think. I mean, I know what you think. The Snyder Cut is amazing.
Absolutely.
Have you heard anybody say anything bad about the Snyder Cut? Anything at all?
Joss Whedon.
Did he say something?
No, but I'm pretty sure he would.
Nah. I think if he got the reviews for his movie and then they got the reviews for the other one, it would just be real petty for him to try to say something. Besides, he has a lot of success in other places that aren't DC, so, you know, just stay over on the Marvel side of things.
Yeah.
But hope you guys enjoyed that. We thoroughly enjoyed this. We thoroughly enjoyed the Snyder Cut. And until next time, we'll talk to you later, nerds.
Yeah.
All right. That was good, bro. Restore the Snyderverse.
Restore the Snyder.